Okay, let's continue on here. Ezekiel 8. Now we're going to see some other scriptures of how all the things that the world accepts in so-called Christian religion is actually condemned in the Word of God. And furthermore, it's also condemned in the New Testament too, but not specifically like the Old Testament. Is it any wonder that they say that the Old Testament has been fulfilled? You don't have to read it. They wouldn't want people reading about it, would they? No. Okay. Let's go on here. Let's pick it up in verse 13. He also said to me, you shall see greater abominations that they are committing. And he brought me into the opening of the gate of the Lord's house toward the north, and behold, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Now, who's Tammuz? Tammuz is a pagan god who supposedly was resurrected by Ishtar on Easter. And he was supposedly killed on Good Friday and rose from the dead at midnight on Good Friday. And so women would weep for him. And then when midnight come, they would all get cheerful and joyful and say, he's risen, he's risen, he's risen. And you know, that is a practice of the Roman Catholic Church to this day. Amazing, isn't it? All right. Verse 15, he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? You shall see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, an opening of the temple of the Lord between the porch and the altar, where 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Sun worship. Now, what do they have every Easter Sunday morning? Easter sunrise services. Isn't that true? What do they have with most of the main Catholic cathedrals? They have a big round circular window up high on the front of the temple, which is facing east. And at the time of the high mass, when the sun is out, a beam of sun will come right down to where the priest is while he's holding up the wafer. Sun worship. Now, let's look at another one here. Let's come back to Jeremiah 10. Now, here's a great one. This is God's description of the Christmas tree. And if people really knew what the Christmas tree symbolized, well, I don't know. People know that Christmas is pagan, but it's so much fun, we don't care. And it's so much fun spending this money and lying to our children, besides all the things I get. See, I know Doris and I were watching her on the news on a Black Friday when they opened the doors. Some of them opened at midnight. Yeah. Oh, no, 5 o'clock in the morning is too late. You've missed out on half your sales. Open at midnight, see. They rushed in, trampled over people. Last year there were several killed because people just crazy. And you sit there and think, as you watch it, where's Christ? How can this be honoring Christ? When you're going hell-bent after your own lusts and worked up into a frenzy because of the advertising and things like this, and to get and to acquire, that you crash into the stores and run over people. Well, that's bad enough. How about this? Jeremiah 10 and verse 1. Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the heathen. Now that's pretty clear. You can't get it any better than that, right? Do not be terrified at the signs of the heavens, for the nations are terrified of them. Now this year, toward the end of the year, everybody's going to be in a frenzy about the Mayan calendar. Because the Mayan calendar ends at the end of 2012. Now, whatever their year is. And they quit counting after that. So one man asked someone in the Church of God, I think it was a minister, and said, what do you think about that? What do you think about the Mayan calendar? They're going to quit counting time, and the end of the world is going to come in 2012 because they're quitting counting. And he just looked at him and said, well, Jesus hasn't. See? Okay. Verse 3, for the customs, that is, traditions, of the people are vain. For one cuts a tree out of the forest with the axe, the work of the hands of the workmen. Now, they make it easy today. You just have to go to a Christmas tree farm. They even make it easier. Now, you can order Christmas trees online, and they'll come in a big giant box delivered to your door. And most of the businesses, like the bank where we bank over here across the street from the office, they've got a, they think it is a beautiful Christmas tree. All the ornaments are on it. All the lights are on it. And it's all artificial. No more cutting, none of that. So they just store it away for next year, bring it out, plug it in, it's ready to go. Okay. Verse 4, they adorn it with silver and gold. Now, that's different than overlaying it with silver and gold as an idol. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not move. Now, nothing could describe a Christmas tree any more accurate than that. Now, what is used most of the time in the northern parts of the northern hemisphere for a Christmas tree? A fir tree or a spruce tree, right? Mm-hmm. Now, those are called what kind of trees? Evergreen. So it is a counterfeit of eternal life, and it stays green. And when you get it in the house, it smells wonderful. Oh, I love the smell of the Christmas tree in the house. You know? Okay. All the decorations on there. Now follow me on this one. They have the decorations that go around the tree in a spiral, clear up to the top. And up at the top is a star. Star is symbolic of Satan, and the wrappings of the that go around the tree are serpentine. So this is Satan. All of the bulbs hanging on there are sex symbols. Or fruit. So what do people really place in their homes? What does this have to do with Jesus Christ? Nothing. The fact is, everyone who puts a Christmas tree in their house are celebrating man's fall, going Satan's way, eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that Christmas tree is symbolic of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of course, they don't know it. It's fun to do. Family does it. You know, kids hang all this stuff up there. You know, kids look and say, oh, wonderful Christmas tree. Wonder when Santa Claus is coming. Never ask the question, why are there Santa Clauses in every department store? How can there just be one? All right. We could read on. He said, let's come back here to Jeremiah 7 again. Let's read on. Let's finish that there. Okay. Or Jeremiah 10. Beg your pardon. Jeremiah 10. Going to get you all confused here. Okay. Jeremiah 10. They are upright as the palm tree, but cannot speak, because see, it was symbolic of a god. Does Satan want to be worshipped as God? Yes, indeed. They must surely be carried because they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of them because they cannot do evil or good, for it is not in them. Now then, someone will read that and say, well, see, it's not evil to do it. No, it is saying that the tree of itself is incapable of doing good or evil, so why do you worship it as a god? That's what is intended there, because verse 6 will verify. Therefore, there is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. Now, let's come back to Isaiah, the first chapter. Let's see what God says. Now, typical of those who want to do away with the Sabbath and holy days and things of God, they turn to Jeremiah, the first chapter, and say, God doesn't want his own holy days, he doesn't want his new moons, he doesn't want his Sabbaths. Because they attribute where it says, your Sabbath, referring to the Jews. Now let's pick it up here in verse 11. Isaiah 1 and verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I'm full of burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed beast. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to trample my courts? So this is reflecting right back to Jeremiah 7 about all of the pagan practices they were doing at the temple. Notice verse 13. Bring no more vain sacrifices, because they bring sacrifices that God did not command. Incense is an abomination to me because it was to other gods. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of assembly, I cannot endure iniquity along with the solemn assembly. Now these were not God's Sabbaths that he's talking about. Notice verse 14. Your new moons and your appointed feast my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I'm weary to bear them. And every year, what do you hear? It's all to the Lord. Put Christ back in Christmas. Celebrate Easter. Christ is risen. Okay? Now, we've got to get one for Halloween. We'll get it here in just a minute. Okay? Verse 15. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear, your hands are full of blood. So then again, he calls them to repentance. Notice, every time God condemns them for what they're doing, he calls them to repentance. God wants repentance. He will forgive. So he says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings and from before my eyes and cease to do evil. So the things they were doing were evil. They weren't honoring God, even if they kept the seventh-day Sabbath, but if they did it in a way which was not according to the way God wanted it, or have a heart that isn't right before God, that's not what God wants. Now notice, here's a principle. You must cease to do evil, and then notice verse 17. Learn to do good. Because you weren't doing that. Seek judgment. Reprove the oppressor. Judge the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Every word of God will come to pass. It does not fail. It will happen. Okay, so God gives them an opportunity, but will they? You know, wouldn't it be interesting? I don't know how much protection a person might need, but I think of this many times. What if someone went to St. Peter's Basilica and stood there and did like Jeremiah and like Isaiah and told them to repent. All of them. Beginning with the Pope. He would be escorted out of there or trampled and killed by the mob. Wouldn't work. Okay, now let's come to Isaiah the 8th chapter. And here we get something concerning spiritism. Isaiah 8 and verse 19. Because Halloween is seeking after the spirits. And that is a day dedicated to Satan and the demons. Dedicated to death. And isn't it interesting? That's the first holiday as they move on in through the cycle of the holidays of the year. You start out with celebrating death. And that is exalting the wages of sin. So notice here, verse 19, Isaiah 8. And when they say to you, seek to them that have familiar spirits and wizards that peep and mutter. Now today, they have television programs about haunted houses. They have television programs, reality shows, where they go to places where they know there are demons and they try and connect with them. Is the Bible relevant today or not? Absolutely. And here's what they say. But should not a people seek unto their God? Should not the dead be sought on behalf of the living? Here's the answer. Verse 20. Here's how you separate yourself from all of these things, to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Okay? Now, I just saw an advertisement for a movie on Disney Channel. And what it was, girls gathered around a Ouija board and levitating things. And in Walt Disney, Disneyland, they've got a whole section to Harry Potter. So we have a whole generation that has been inoculated with the occult, with witchcraft. There you have it. No light in them. Now let's come to Amos, the 5th chapter. Let's see something else. Let's see God's summary of all of these things. Now, what you need to do is think about how they say, how much fun they have, how great a time they have, and then remember Amos 5, and let's pick it up here in verse 21. Here's what God says. People say, put Christ back into Christmas. Was never there. Celebrate the resurrection of Christ. No command to do so. Verse 21, here's what God says, I hate. Now for God to hate something, that's pretty strong. Amos 5:21. I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Do you have long prayers? Christmas, Easter. Do you have the Eucharist? We could talk about the Eucharist. That's another one of those false things that reject the Passover. I will not accept them, nor will I regard the peace offering of your fat animals. Now, verse 23. I think of this every time I hear a Gregorian chant. That has got to be the most awful music. I think the only thing worse than that is rap music. Okay? No, there's something worse than rap music. It's a car that's booming and vibrating, and every house down the block, you know, as it goes down, every house is going like this, and car is going down. I pulled in the gas up here yesterday, and here comes this guy in this car. Vroom, 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 vroom. and it was vibrating everything. I got out of the car, and my body was shaking, you know, every time. Like, and it was something. Dolores would have been proud of me.
Yes.
I restrained myself from saying a word and consoled myself by saying, this guy has got to be a deaf and dumb idiot. But it was. The whole place was shaking. Okay? So he says, verse 23, take the noise of your songs away from me, for I will not hear the melody of your harps. But let judgment roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Now think of this. All during the 40 years of wandering, how many were really faithful to God? Moses and Aaron, well, he overcame his first unfaithfulness. Basically, Moses and Joshua and Caleb. That was about it. Notice what the rest were doing. That's why God had the tent of the meeting set up outside the camp. Get away from these sinners. Have you offered sacrifices and offerings to me 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? Did you really? Verse 26. But now you have carried the tabernacle of your Moloch and your Chiun, your images, the star of your gods, which you made for yourself. And verse 27 did happen. So I will cause you to go into exile beyond Damascus. He sent them 1,500 miles away over to the Caucasus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Okay? So this is what God says about these days. Now, when you come to the New Testament, it says nothing about observing any of these days. Now, what we will do in the next sermon, next week, we'll go through and we'll summarize the holy days of God. And we will look at some things in the Old and New Testament, but we will focus mostly on the New Testament and ask the question, what did the New Testament church really do? Now, you see, one of the mottos that we have is restoring original Christianity for today, which means this. We are going to examine the scriptures of God to know what Jesus did, what the apostles did, what they wrote, and we will find not one word about Halloween or Christmas or Easter or Lent, or any of those things. We will find out about the Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, tabernacles, the last great day, and all of those are in the New Testament, and they are commanded in the Old Testament. So we'll go ahead and call it quits for today. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.